I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your day two recap of the WGC Dell Technologies match play. Every single match discussed. Joining me to break it all down, Kyle Porter is here. Hello, KP.
Hello, RG. Hey, what's your, I was just eating some sunflower seeds while I watched the match play today. What's your brand of choice when it comes to sunflower seeds?
What's that main brand? David's. No, not Biggs. David's. Okay. I'm a ranch guy.
Oh no.
Yeah.
That's not good. Did you chew them when you, like, did you eat sunflower seeds when you played?
Yeah, I'm actually quite bad at cracking the seeds though. Like I'm I was more of like a I'm not going to say that. I wouldn't just crack it. I would just kind of let it sit in my mouth and then spit it out.
Oh, now I want to know what you weren't going to say.
I was going to say I'm more of a suck and spit kind of guy is what I was going to say.
That could get cut and right. That would be bad. But these are original. So I got them on the way home from Austin yesterday. But normally, and they didn't have them at the gas station that we stopped at, I kind of like the dill pickle.
Dill pickle's good. I do like the dill pickle. That's a top three.
Yeah, they're. I just got introduced to them like a year ago or so, and I've been into them. Sunflower seeds are my go-to on road trips.
How was your time in Houston or Austin?
Yeah, my time in Houston was non-existent. My time in Austin was great. That have you been to match play?
No, and I was so close to just like going last minute because I didn't know if we were ever going to get it again, but I've never been.
Well, you and I are kind of texting about this offline, but it's really cool. I mean, the golf course is cool. The atmosphere is great. The players enjoy it. I mean, how many players do we hear this week say, God, I wish there was still match play. I wish there was still match play. I don't know if this is actually true. They seem like they get so sick of 72 holes of stroke play, 72 holes of stroke play, 72 holes of stroke play. And it's like, it just mix it up a little bit. And instead, we talked about this on whatever Tuesday. Instead, it's going the other way, you know, of more of that. And I don't know, you know, you hear rumors and you read stuff. I don't know what the details are of why they're going away from it, but it's a bummer because the atmosphere was awesome. The only thing that sucked was the traffic. My kids got to come out on Wednesday. My wife and kids were out there. They got to meet some players. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, it's really cool in terms of the golf course, but also just the match play itself is really fun.
I love it. And hopefully we can figure out a way to make it happen. All right. We will now engage rapid fire mode.
Ugh,
we will
go let's through. Just roll through these
32 matches recapped
starting right now. Out of the gate with group number 10, Tony Finau takes it to Adrian Meronk, 4-3, highlighted KP by the 5 consecutive birdies that he made from 9 to 13.
Yeah, these are heavyweights. These are guys you do not want running downhill at you, right?
That is correct. Two of the bigger guys you could get in this.
Tony Finau is running downhill on the golf course right now. So I'm excited to see him potentially get into the round of 16.
Tony Finau 2-0. The other side of this group, Kurt Kitayama and Christian Bezuidenhout. Lots of back and forth action in this one. A give and take. When the dust settled, it was Kurt Kitayama winning 2-1.
Yeah, Kurt Kitayama, he lost yesterday, right? He's 1-1.
He is 1-1.
I saw his caddy, Tim Tucker, at the hotel we were staying at. And I was like, hey, Tim, how do you like this golf course? He's like, the golf course is fine, but I really like it for Kurt. And he went out and showed why on Thursday.
This is setting up a group 10 heavyweight bout between Tony Finau and Kurt Kitayama. Finau getting half a point would advance him to the round of 16. Kitayama could also force a playoff. Also depends on what Adrian Meronk does to Christian Bezuidenhout. Could be a 3-2-1 golfers out of group 10. Group 7, that's the Will Zalatoris group, though he will not be around for the group or for the elimination stage, KP, because he is 0-2 and he is eliminated. Harris English beats him handily, 5-3. Will Zalatoris did not win a hole today.
Yeah, Zalatoris is not playing very well. Harris English, kind of a Ryder Cup dark horse, maybe?
I mean, Harris English hadn't played all that well until just recently.
Yeah, but we've also got 7 months till the Ryder Cup.
For sure.
So if he, I mean, we got major season. I'm intrigued by the rest of Harris English's year.
The 2-0 player out of group 7 is the one we all expected, the 56th overall seed, Andrew Putnam, thanks to a 2-1 victory over Ryan Fox. Fox was not without a couple of highlights. He won 3 different holes on the day. And KP, I love just watching this guy hit the ball. He is an absolute animal.
Do you think if you saw Andrew Putnam on the range, you could pick him out of a lineup?
If I saw Andrew Putnam at a stall on the range where the sign said Putnam, I don't think I could have picked him out of that group.
There's another Putnam, right?
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, there you go. I did see him on the range and I was like, who's, and then I saw the bag and you're like, oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, obviously played pretty well. Ryan Fox didn't play very well at all. Ryan Fox is another guy that I was like, I kind of saw him from behind. I was like, is that Ryan Palmer? And then it's just, you know, not too pretty nondescript. Ryan Fox is like the 29th ranked player in the world right now.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. He got a couple of wins, I think, on the European Tour.
Not on the President's Cup team.
No, snubbed, in fact. Group 15, this was one of the tighter matches of the day. Cameron Young and Corey Connors, they played their first 6 holes all square before Connors makes birdie on 7 to take a 1-up lead. Kyle, that 1-up lead held from 7 through 15. Cam Young wins 16. Cam Young wins 17. They both make par on 18, and in a tightly contested match, Cam Young wins 1-up to improve his record to 2-0.
Yeah, Cam Young is playing some pretty terrific golf. I mean, 9 threes to start his day on Wednesday when I was there, and then obviously comes back here with a 3-2-4 finish. There was a player on the range who gets talked about a lot on this podcast that went up to Paul Tesori and said, this is Cam Young's new caddy, and said, you're going to be looking at some different lines than you've been looking at for the last 12 years.
That's really good. Going from Webb Simpson to Cam Young.
And everybody, I mean, it's kind of like an open joke, but like everybody around was cracking up. Cam Young's he's an animal. I mean, he's a freak.
He's a problem. Big time problem. The other half of group 15, Davis Thompson, who played very well yesterday and lost to Cam Young, gets rewarded with more great play, a 4-3 drubbing over Sepp Straka. So this is setting up where Connors is going to play. Actually, Connors is going to play Davis Thompson tomorrow. If either one of them can get a full point,
dude, are you watching this?
The Rory Denny match.
Did you see what just happened?
No.
Rory hit it to 5 feet off the tee on 18.
No. Oh, I just saw they zoomed in on it. Yeah,
it's off the tee on it.
That's like 370 yards, isn't it?
Oh my gosh.
I think he likes the new driver, by the way. I think he's coming around on it.
Oh.
And now Denny has to hit and he's like, "Nah. I'm not sure I've got that gear."
That was insane. Sorry.
That's okay. So, Davis Thompson, Corey Connors is going to play on Friday to see who can get a full point if one is out there. Cam Young will advance with just a half, but Davis Thompson still keeps himself alive here with this victory.
Yeah, you know, this is interesting because it's very much a, you know, we talk, it gets thrown around, but this is an example of how weird match play is, right? I mean, Davis Thompson's one under through 15 and he wins, you know, four up. And then you go back to yesterday and you've got, who was it? Minwoo and Sahith. Yeah. And they're both like seven under or whatever. And it goes to the last hole. It's just, it's kind of a, I mean, yeah, match play is just weird.
Group two, John Rahm salvages the day and keeps himself in this championship thanks to a 4-3 victory over Keith Mitchell. Keith Mitchell now eliminated with an 0-1-1 record. We saw a much better golf played by John Rahm today. The highlights were 9-13. He made 3 birdies and an eagle during that stretch.
Yeah, sorry, I'm watching into this Rory drive right now.
Okay.
You know, I thought Wednesday was weird, Rick, because Rahm did not – he lost to Ricky. But the rhetoric around that match was it wasn't – like Ricky was talking about how Rahm didn't play that well, but he made like 6 birdies. Did you hear Ricky say that?
Yes.
That was a little – I mean, I guess for Rahm, like – you got to shoot 64 to be playing well, but did you find that odd?
Yeah. I mean, the Ricky interview afterwards was like, I kind of stole one here is the way that he was framing that whole thing.
Yeah. And they shot like a best ball 60 or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was, I don't know what the actual number was, but Rahm is still in this, right? Like he's very much alive because Ricky lost to Billy Horschel.
That's right. Ricky did lose to Billy Horschel. 3-2 for Billy Ho, our 2021 champion. Billy was blemish free, 4 birdies, no bogeys. Fowler was a bit more all over the place, but what this is setting up for, KP, is a John Rahm Billy Horschel match in which Rahm said there will be few other matches with the electricity of us two. Billy Horschel controls his own destiny. A win would give him 2.5 points. That would down Rahm to 1-2. And then even if Ricky were to beat Keith Mitchell, he'd only get to 2 full points. So Billy Horschel in the driver's seat out of group two.
Yeah, I saw you tweeting about the Rahm Horschel match. That's going to be just an electric factory. I mean, the reactions from both of those guys, the reaction per shot is going to be just off the charts.
Speaking of electric factories, group 12 is here, and Jordan Spieth is here. This match, Jordan Spieth and Taylor Montgomery, there were only they played 17 holes. Only 3 of them were not won by somebody, right? It was all over the place, back and forth. Taylor Montgomery started to separate himself thanks to a few untimely bogeys from Jordan Spieth late in this round. And Taylor Montgomery all of a sudden is 2-0 heading into his final match of the round robin stage.
Yeah, I mean, expect anything different, not to go full Dan Hicks, but from a Jordan Spieth match, I mean, let's just say this. The PGA Tour tweeted out a highlight video of one of his holes. It was a 6-minute highlight video, and he made par. He made 3 on the 7th. He's absurd. I mean, it's just completely – Taylor Montgomery being 2-0 is crazy, though.
Yeah, it is. Mackenzie Hughes, the 50th seed, puts a beating on Shane Lowry. Mackenzie Hughes was 5-up after 7 holes, never really looked back, a 4-3 victory. So what this sets up, KP, is Taylor Montgomery will play Mackenzie Hughes. If Taylor Montgomery gets just a half a point, that would be good enough. And then there are some situations in which we could get a playoff if we could get a three-way playoff, I suppose, if Hughes beats Montgomery and Spieth beats Lowry, they'd all be 2-1.
Yeah, here's my question to you, Rick. Are we at all concerned about Shane Lowry right now?
Kind of. He has not been nearly as good since he won, what did he win, BMW PGA Championship? He has not been good since then.
That was the 54 hole of event last year.
Yeah, the one where we lost the queen.
Wow, I didn't know you were gonna. Yeah,
that's why people are probably like, "What do you mean 54 hole?" I'm just, yeah, that's the one. It was actually around my birthday because I remember being on my birthday thing.
I remember. I think I wrote this in Normal Sport too, but the idea that Taylor Gooch might miss the Masters because the queen died.
Yeah, seriously.
Was like just the most absurd thing I've ever heard of. But no, Shane Lowry. Oh, Denny just hit a great shot too. This match, we should just live stream this match and give our commentary. Shane Lowry, it's been surprising that he's been not that great because last year he was really good. And it's a Ryder Cup year. I don't know what's going on with him right now.
I believe they just conceded that to Rory. So Rory McIlroy, 2-up winner over Denny McCarthy out of group 3. We'll cover that whole group at the end, but that match is now over.
So Rory hit one shot on 18.
Yeah. So it looks like Denny just conceded that to him and he picked up his mark. Yep.
You got to putt that, don't you?
3 feet 9 inches, I thought I saw on the shot tracker. That's pretty sick. I would make him. I mean, you have to. Denny has to hit his putt to try to make birdie, and then you got to make Rory. That was bizarre, wasn't it? Although I guess it was just for Rory was already up though.
Yeah, so he needed a 2-putt.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Group 5, Max Homa, who has not played poorly, but he has not played particularly well. Is 2-0 out of group 5. He survives match play specialist Kevin Kisner. Kisner now 0-2. So Homa setting up to control his own destiny against Hideki Matsuyama tomorrow.
You say Kisner Matsuyama tomorrow or Homa?
Homa Matsuyama tomorrow.
Yeah, Homa, I mean, we picked him to win it, right? Before we went through the bracket and somehow ended up with Max Homa as the winner. He's been playing. I just think, you know, I was going through this today, Rick, and I was looking at, so we've got Scheffler and Rahm, who I think are pretty clearly have been the two best guys in the world. But then the next set of guys, if you want to like break it out like that, is Max Homa and Jason Day, who we're going to talk about here in a second. And I just don't know that people, you know, a lot of people don't pay attention until the Masters, until the major season, which is totally fine. I just don't know if people who sort of pay attention to golf understand how good Max Homa and Jason Day have been so far this year.
For sure. Phenomenal and seemingly getting better. Hideki Matsuyama falls to Justin Suh, 3-1. Justin Suh, this is kind of a bizarre little situation. So he wins this match 3-1. He made 2 birdies and a bogey. So just a lot of timely pars and wins both of those holes that he makes birdie on. So now Suh and Tadeki are 1-1. So a lot of different ways that we can get there for a group 5 winner. That one's still very much up in the air.
Yeah, again, just a really strange card to be your only 1-under and you win easily. And it's just, I don't know, match play is bizarre. And this is like, I mean, Rahm was talking about this before the tournament. It's weird stuff happens in match play. I mean, the Kevin Na DJ thing, well, there's a million like weird things that happen. And this is among them. So has to get to what, the finals to get into the Masters?
I believe that's what, yeah, I believe that is correct.
I'm fascinated by him. He's had more of the sort of common trajectory than Hovland and Morikawa, whose class he was in. And he's a really good player. I'm intrigued to see how the rest of his year goes.
One under par through 17 holes for Justin Suh, and was never down in that match. So that's pretty impressive stuff. Group 13, Sam Burns defeats Adam Scott one up, thanks to making par on the final hole of the day while Adam Scott made a bogey. So Sam Burns now 2-0 KP, which, you know, we're starting to see signs of his game rounding back into form.
Yeah. I feel like we sort of wrote him off. I don't know if we wrote him off. We just didn't talk about him that much leading in. And, you know, he talked afterwards about how he's just more, he's just striking the ball better. It was a driver thing, which you and I talked about. Adam Scott, by the way, hit the stick on 11. Oh my God. You see this?
Yeah. At like the bottom of the stick, like almost hooked it.
I think it hit the cup, maybe.
Might actually be more accurate. Yeah.
It like backboarded off the stick, hit the cup, and then almost went in the water.
Yeah.
And, you know, if that goes in, which obviously big if, but, you know, could be a tie. He botched 18 too. He made a mess of 18.
He did make a mess of 18. Seamus Power also wins one up. So both matches in group 13 go the distance. Power beats Adam Hadwin. This eliminates Adam Hadwin, and Sam Burns only needs a half to get out of group 13. Seamus Power still alive. Adam Scott still alive. So plenty to contend for out of group 13.
Yeah, there is. Hadwin, where are we here? Hadwin has been like low key really good the last few weeks. Of course, he missed the cut when I picked him in my one and done, but I'm not. I think Seamus Power might have peaked a little too early in the season, as in like last October.
Right. Yeah. That's the third week of the year or whatever it was in Bermuda. Couple of interesting records out of group four. So Patrick Cantlay, one of the odds on favorites to advance out of his region, gets the job done over KH Lee. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 birdies and an eagle in 16 holes will get the job done for Patrick Cantlay. And he's setting up to have a chance to get out of the group stage for the first time in his career.
Yeah, I needed it. He kind of squeezed past. Who did he? He had Nick Taylor on Wednesday.
Nick Taylor was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. He only beat him one up, and then was just in control of this match, never trailed, and then closed out KH Lee late. So Cantlay's just so methodical, man. He's so methodical. He's so just, I mean, look at those last, what is that, 11 holes? He plays them in 2, 4, 5, 7 under. I mean, what are you going to do? It's not like KH Lee played bad over those last 11 holes, but Cantlay's a monster.
He's a buzzsaw. Brian Harman trying to flip his poor recent form here at the match play and doing a good job so far. A 3-2 victory over Nick Taylor. So this is a pretty cool one. Nick Taylor and KH Lee out. Brian Harman and Patrick Cantlay will play tomorrow for all the marbles in group four. The winner of that match or potential playoff will get out. That's how this works. That entire group comes down to that match.
Yeah, I was looking at that because I was looking at my Cantlay pick, and I was hoping that he had somebody tomorrow that was not 2-0 basically. So yeah, I mean, it's weird because as well as Cantlay's played, he might not make it to Saturday. This if like Harman beats him.
I'm positive this is like exactly what happened last year. Cantlay was a buzzsaw through the first two rounds.
Yeah.
Got the guy who was 2-0. I think they ended up going to a playoff, and Cantlay played phenomenal and didn't even get out of the group.
I think Brian Harman's the new Charles Howell III. He just sneaks around and makes a ton of money. And like, I bet Brian Harman's made $26 million in his career.
Oh, I'll take the over.
36. I don't know.
Here's what we'll do. We're 16 down, 16 to go. We're going to hit a quick break, and I'll come back and tell you what Brian Harman's career PGA Tour earnings are on the other side.
It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now, here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order plus free shipping.
And we're back. What was the original line that you said that I said I would take the over on?
26.
Ah, great line. 25,870,000. I was including this week's earnings by saying over.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
I mean,
honestly, though, is Brian Harman going to get to 40 million in his career? Probably.
Well, if he first is. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. He played three, four, five more years. I don't know how old he is. I think he's mid 30s. So that's not inconceivable. And make 4 mil a year and you're there.
Group nine. I didn't have anything interesting to say after that. Group nine. Colin Morikawa versus Adam Svensson, a tale of two nines. Morikawa gets up early and actually leads this match from holes 2 through 8, all square on 9. And then it's the Svensson back 9 until we get to 17, where Morikawa steals 1 on 18. And this one ends in a tie. 1-0-1. For Colin Morikawa, Svensson, 0-1-1.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about what you said about Svensson coming in. You were big on him. He has been playing very well. Morikawa made a really nice 3 on 18 to move on. But Svensson's been an impressive guy throughout the last couple months. He's got Jason Day on Friday.
So he's got Jason Day. Jason Day, thanks to a 2-1 victory over Victor Perez, is now undefeated 2-0. So Victor Perez out. Svensson also out. He can only get to 1.5 points. And Jason Day will only need, I guess, a half would get him to 2.5 points. Morikawa could win and get to 2.5. So that Jason Day, Colin Morikawa matches for all the marbles. Because if Morikawa wins, he'd have 2.5 points.
Yeah.
If Jason Day does anything else, it'll be Day's.
I think Jason Day might win this thing. I mean, he's just playing. I mean, you know, it was interesting. I read his quotes afterwards, and he's like, "I looked like a club pro today, and I looked like the number one player." He didn't say this, but it's like the number one player in the world on Wednesday. And he was like, it's just match play. Sometimes you get by without your best stuff, even though he plays the last 5 and 3 under, so, or his last 5 and 3 under. Yeah, I think if he gets past Morikawa, I really could see Day making it to the final four.
Group eight. So of our top seeds so far, Will Zalatoris mathematically eliminated. The next top seed mathematically eliminated, unfortunately, is Victor Hovland. A 4-3 win for Siwoo Kim, in which he never trailed in this match, sends Victor packing.
Yeah, not great. He missed kind of a short-ish putt on 15 that would have extended the match, and he was just kind of like he was laughing at himself. I think he was exasperated. We do need to have an intervention with your guy, though. The scripting, it's not working.
I definitely like it more than most, but there are some days where even I'm like, oh boy, this is tough.
I mean, the all green, which is whatever, but then like the sky blue with the, I actually don't hate if it's just like the navy top and the sky blue or the Carolina blue pants, but the Carolina blue on the back thing, like we can't be doing that.
Listen, hey, they're Jay Lindbergh getting us to talk about it at least. Siwoo Kim 2-0-0, Chris Kirk and Matt Kuchar tie. Pretty well contested match. It was never more than one up at any point. Chris Kirk makes birdie on the last to earn that half a point, which KP is going to set up a situation where Siwoo is going to play Matt Kuchar. Siwoo needs just a half a point. Kuchar could also get there with a victory because he'd have 2.5 points. So one of the two lower seeds in Group Eight will come out of it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. This has nothing to do with what you just said, but I thought of this when I saw Matt Kuchar. Kuchar's the oldest player in the tournament.
And still, yes. Wow, okay. Who's the second?
Which I don't know.
Scott
Maybe. Maybe Andrew Putnam. I don't know, but that was weird to me. Like Kuchar doesn't see, he seems like he's been 37 for the last 15 years. I think he's 44.
I was going to say he has to be way older than 37.
Yeah. But I just thought that was interesting because he's still, I mean, they showed the graphic today of Kuchar's got, he's like top three ever in match play wins or maybe top. Maybe
he's one behind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's pretty wild.
Pretty wild. Group 16 is Sungjae Im's group, and Sungjae, who had a 3-up lead through 12 holes, not only blows the lead, but loses the match to JT Poston, who now controls his own destiny, the postman 2-0.
Yeah. How about that back nine? How about the last seven?
Five birdies.
The 3-4-3-3 finishes is nasty. He's pretty unassuming guy. I mean, between the other JT caddy bib and just the way he kind of carries himself around the course, he's not, you don't see him on the first tee and you're like, oh gosh, we got a lot to deal with today, but he's a good player and he's playing very well this week.
Sets up well for him because the other half of group 16 play 2A. Tie. Tommy Fleetwood and Maverick McNealy closely contested the entire time. They basically shared one-up leads at different points throughout this before getting a half a point for one another. So now we've got, let's see, Poston playing McNealy. A half a point will do the job. If McNealy beats Poston, Poston would still have 2 points. It would depend on what the other match does. So the only people that have a chance here are Sungjae, but he needs help from McNealy, or Poston, who just needs a half a point.
Yeah. McNealy's had a weird week, man. Yeah. Like, he's been all over the place. I can't remember. I mean, yesterday he made like 5 bogeys or something. And then today his score, I mean, two doubles and an eagle. I mean, he's just, it's been kind of wild. It's crazy that he's still in it, right? If he wins?
No, because he could only get to 1.5 points and
oh, you're,
Poston's already at 2.
Yeah, you're saying that you were saying that Fleetwood needs help from McNealy.
Sungjae needs help from McNealy.
I'm lost. That's so okay. Sorry about that. Yeah, McNeely's had a weird week. That was my only point.
For sure there. Group number one is next. That is Scotty Scheffler's group, and he played like it. Three straight birdies from five through seven, four straight birdies from 10 through 13. Scotty Scheffler gets an early day by drubbing Alex Noren 5-4.
I mean, is Scheffler just going to win this again?
Probably, yeah. He's – okay. He's unbelievable. I don't have any other commentary.
It's really crazy because it's I mean he's just, I don't know. We probably say this about three or four guys a year, but he's maintaining a level that doesn't seem sustainable, but he's making it sustainable, right?
Yeah.
It's nuts. I mean, Noren didn't, you know, you can't just make two birdies over 14 holes and expect to be in it against the number one player in the world. But Scheffler's he's a machine right now.
Alex Noren is out. The other two in group one still technically alive. Tom Kim loses to Davis Riley. Riley essentially controlled that match throughout its entirety. Both of those golfers are 1-1. So it'll be a Tom Kim, Scotty Scheffler match, which is cool. If Tom Kim wins, they will go to a playoff. Also will depend on if Davis Riley can beat Alex Noren. They still do three-way playoff now. They've changed the tiebreaker rules like 15 times in the last 5 years. I'm pretty sure if you get three guys 2-1, it doesn't matter what the head-to-head was. I think they throw them all out there.
I'm pretty sure that's correct.
Which is the way it should be.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm like 79% sure on that.
I think they should just pull names out of a hat.
Okay. That's
they should just get a cow. They should get Max's cowboy hat and just draw names out of it.
Tom Kim, Scotty Scheffler is going to be sick.
Rub of the green. Tom Kim. He's gotten a little lost in the shuffle this year after last fall. You know, he was so good in the fall and so fascinating at the President's Cup. And he's been like fine so far this year. He hasn't been amazing, but I mean, if he goes out and beats Scheffler and kind of makes a little run this weekend, then all of a sudden it's Tom Kim season again going into the majors.
Group 11 has been very exciting and very interesting. After Minwoo Lee and Sahith go nuts on Wednesday, Matt Fitzpatrick edges out Minwoo 2-1. He never trailed in that match. So Fitzpatrick still alive here. We've got a Fitzy 1-1 record, a Minwoo Lee 1-1 record, and a guy I'm going to talk about in a second with two wins.
Yeah, this has been, I think it's been the most like activity out of a single group.
Yeah.
There's just been a lot going on. I mean, I said it earlier, but Minwoo and Sahith shoot like a best ball 58 on Wednesday. I've been surprised at how solid Fitzpatrick has been just because there were a lot of questions. I mean, he hasn't been playing well and he's been like kind of injured, kind of not, but he did play well today and made a ton of birdies against Minwoo.
The other half of that group is bad for my one and done, bad for my bracket, good for JJ Spawn. The 61 seed beats the crap out of Matt Fitzpatrick on Wednesday, beats the crap out of Sahith Tagala on Thursday, 5-4, was 6 up at one point through 10 holes. JJ Spawn playing a little sleeper wild card guy here.
Yeah, JJ Spawn hasn't seen the 16th hole yet.
That's pretty good.
Which is kind of sick. He has, who does he has,
he'll get Minwoo tomorrow.
He'll get Minwoo and Fitzpatrick and Sahith.
Right. So there's a lot of outcomes here. So Spawn and Minwoo will play. If Minwoo wins that, they're both 2-1. Sahith and Fitzpatrick will play. Fitzpatrick could get to 2-1 as well with a victory.
He's out. So you get,
I get some guaranteed money.
Yeah, what's the 17 through
probably 60K.
That's not good.
No,
this one's harder to pick than the players.
So now I'm rooting for like Lucas Herbert to win the whole thing.
Right.
Somebody like that.
We talk about how hard the players is to pick for one and done. This one's harder.
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild.
I mean you have to pick a top guy. Or in your case, you don't.
Yeah, you don't technically have to.
But you kind of do. But then it's just the odds of them missing the weekend are so much higher than them than the odds of them missing the weekend at the Phoenix Open.
For sure. Yes, absolutely.
It's a nightmare.
Xander Schauffele has a pretty good chance to get out of his group. A 2-1 victory over Aaron Wise. Lots of birdies on the card for Xander. 3 in a row from 4 through 6. 1 on 9, 11, 12, 16. So he is 2-0 and will get Tom Hoagie controlling his own destiny on Friday.
Yeah, I watched some of Xander today. His swing looks so good right now. I mean, his swing is his swing. Like, it's always good. But he just looks so in control, so smooth. I think he could make a little run this weekend.
He only needs a half a point. It'll come against Tom Hoagie, who lost 3-1 to Cam Davis. Davis played very well, especially on his second nine. He piled up 5 birdies over his last 6 or 7 holes or so. So again, we have that situation where Xander needs a half a point against Hoagie, who's 0-2, and then the two guys who are 1-1 will battle. So there's a couple of different outcomes, but Xander is certainly in the driver's seat.
Yeah, he is. Hoagie's 0-2, right? You said
that is correct.
Yeah, he's been kind of disappointing this week. You know, as the what is he, the 23 seed?
That is correct.
I thought he'd play better. He's been playing pretty well coming in.
The third and final top seed that has already been eliminated is here in group 14. His name, Terrell Hatton. Pretty big surprise here, KP, because he was playing beautifully coming in. A lot of people picked him to win this golf tournament. He will not do that because Lucas Herbert edges him out 2-1, and it's Herbs and Spices, who is 2-0-0.
Well, I saw something. Maybe Greg said it on our pre-tournament pod, but just the idea that Herbert could get into the Masters having played his last 4 stroke play rounds in like 40 over or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be outrageous. But is there any injury concern with Hatton? I saw the wrist thing on Wednesday.
That was weird, right? Yeah, he's on the range and he's like shaking his hand out pretty vigorously before he tees off on Wednesday. I don't know. I haven't heard or seen anything else other than that same thing that everybody saw.
Yeah, I'm surprised. He had just been playing such great golf coming in and seemed like a pretty good setup for him, and he hadn't had it this week.
Ben Griffin will be Lucas Herbert's opponent on Friday. He was smacked around by Russell Henley, 5-4. Henley makes 6 birdies over the course of 14 holes and never let Ben Griffin lead this match.
No, he didn't. Henley said the ball well. I mean, he's one of those guys. We talk about him a lot, just as guys that, like, he's like in the Brendan Steele camp of just how does this guy not contend more with the way he hits it? And he did that on Thursday against Ben Griffin.
It'll be Henley and Hatton. Henley's still alive. Herbert and Griffin, those two obviously still alive, but Herbert just needs half a point. Finally, group number 3. You don't want to play Keegan Bradley in match play. He might get in your face if you talk to his caddy. He might beat you. Who knows what's going to happen? But what I do know is he is going to beat up on Scott Stallings like he did on Thursday. 6-5. Keegan was absolutely rolling. Improves his record to 1-0-1.
Yeah, he had had such a weird Austin Country Club record coming into today, right? Like he had never won.
Gotten out of his group, but every single one of his matches went to the last hole or something.
Yeah,
like that?
It is so strange. It was such a weird deal. Keegan and Rory could be a little spicy on Friday.
Well, that's what we're setting up for. Keegan Bradley and Rory McIlroy on Friday, essentially for the group, because Rory McIlroy, as we kind of described in real time, wins 2-2 up over Denny McCarthy. But I'll tell you what, he had his hands full because Denny was 3 up through 6. Rory was able to claw it back and then a couple of late wins to steal this thing away.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. I haven't seen Rory's numbers today, but his numbers on Wednesday compared to what he was doing coming in were just, he just hit the ball better, putted it a little bit better. I think that there is a little bit of momentum going into the Masters. Not that I don't know that there needs to be, but it seems like he's playing with more confidence. I mean, the shot he hits on 18 to 375 yards to what, 4 feet is, that's sick. Denny did play well though. We had Denny coming out of that group, didn't we?
I'll tell you what, man, he's played pretty darn great this week. He went toe to toe with Rory McIlroy, and he was like five up to Keegan at one point. He probably should have won that one yesterday. Keegan stole a half a point. Denny being 0-1-1 is simultaneously impressive and disappointing.
Yeah. Keegan beats Rory, he goes through.
So both of those guys control their own destiny. That's right. Rory wins or gets half a point. He's in. Keegan wins. He'd be at 2.5 to Rory's 2. He's in. So yeah, that is going to be a spicy little one.
Yeah. And I don't know how much Rory loves like the Keegan stuff. I think he doesn't really like, I don't know. I don't know who would love it, but I definitely don't know if Rory does.
Keegan's a tough out, man. He's a tough out in this.
Would you rather have Cantlay or Keegan in a match? Like Rick Gaiman personally, would you rather have Keegan or Cantlay?
Cantlay. Keegan would. I would be so rattled by.
Would you rather have Keegan or Billy Horschel?
Oh God! I would rather have Keegan. Billy, I don't think I could do Billy.
I mean, both of those guys. It's like I think I would pick. I don't know who is a faster player out of those two. Probably Horschel. This like doing all that stuff and being slow would be exhausting.
I can't watch Billy sneak up on his putts for however many holes it takes for him to beat me. I can't.
Well, he would be quick. It would be like
9 or 10.
It would be 10 or 11 holes, but yeah, it would be a tough scene.
Couple notables, as I mentioned, the top seeds who are already out, Tyrrell Hatton, Victor Hovland, and Will Zalatoris. There's also not a single group where all four guys are 1-1, which is a little interesting. But a lot of action tomorrow. Anything else?
Well, I was just going to end with this. This year has been I'm always a little bit disappointed by match play. And I've maybe it's just because it's the last year. I've never been more into it than I have this year. It's just been like really, I'm just really interested by it. I think maybe I understand match play better now than I did when I first started covering the sport. And it's just a fascinating way to play golf. And I think it leads to some really interesting matches, outcomes, interesting stuff. Like if we played match play all the time on the PGA Tour, every day would be more interesting than it is right now. I'm not saying that's what we should do, but it does lead to more interesting. It like Spieth becomes more Spiethian and Rory hits more Rory like shot, you know, it almost enhances what everybody does, which I think is really intriguing.
Lots of potential outcomes for Friday, and guess what, we'll be back to break them all down. Big thanks to producer Josh, who does all the hard work behind the scenes. Kyle Porter, available on Twitter at Kyle Porter CBS, and you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.